Our scripture reading is from Exodus. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall not commit adultery. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Well, if you're in the room right now, or if you're listening online and you are single, thanks for being here. I appreciate that. Especially if you've been with us this summer, we've been walking through the Ten Commandments, and I mean, you got to do the Ten Commandments in order. And so if you're following along, you count to seven, this is the seventh week of the series, you knew the commandment that was coming, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. And if you're single, I totally understand if you're thinking, well, that probably doesn't apply to me all that much. I could just sleep in, take the day off. But you didn't. You're here. And thank you. It's good that you are here because nothing could be further from the truth. This commandment is for everybody. Because, see, there's a fear that every one of us has that we carry deep within us nowadays. It's a fear held by single people, married people, whatever. It's a fear that affects the rich and the poor, white people and people of color, old, young, does not matter. We all have this fear. It's called FOMO, fear of missing out. FOMO is defined by Wikipedia, anyway, as a perversive apprehension that others might be having rewarding experiences from which one is absent. Again, much more simply, fear of missing out. People suffering from FOMO will exhibit a few behaviors you might notice. They're the ones toward the end of the week calling all their friends, constantly asking, where's everyone going this weekend? They don't want to miss out on what's ever happening. They're the ones that are constantly checking Facebook, Instagram over what fun things people are doing. Even if the pastor's preaching, they want to know where everyone's going for lunch. I do it too. They're the ones, if you're talking to them, they're not always keeping eye contact with you really well. They're kind of looking around, what's happening, who's talking, who am I missing? And finally, they're the ones that keep planning vacation after vacation. They don't go on any of them, but they plan them. Because if they were to choose just one to go on, it means they'd miss out on all the rest. I could go on, but I think you get the idea. All these things driven by fear. The fear of missing out. Whether missing out on a party or a trendy vacation spot or an important conversation, doesn't matter. It's still FOMO, fear of missing out. Of course, we human beings, we've had FOMO forever. It's not new. In fact, in moderation, it's even healthy. FOMO is what drives us to check on people we care about, see what's going on. It keeps us in touch with the people and the places in our lives that are important to us. I dare say it's even gotten you to church on occasion. I mean, last week, if you weren't here, you missed out. Sanctuary was 85 degrees. We had to go downstairs in the fellowship hall. I wore a robe in the fellowship hall. We baptized baby Cole back there last week. Now, all those last-minute changes drove my blood pressure through the roof. I didn't have a great time through all of that, but everyone else really seemed to, if I may speak for those who were here. See what you miss out on when you miss church? FOMO's not all bad. But with the rise of the internet, and especially of social media, our FOMO has gotten more than a little bit out of control, if I may say so. It's everywhere. I mean, we know now instantly what our high school boyfriend or girlfriend did for their summer vacation. You never knew that before. We now know exactly what our great-grandniece's wedding looked like, even though we weren't invited. We know what we're missing out on. I got on Cokesbury's website the other day. That's the United Methodist online store, and I was buying a few things, and in the course of that, I saw a cross and flame necklace, the United Methodist logo as a necklace, and I looked at that. I didn't get it, but I looked at it. Moved on later. About 10 minutes later, I get on Facebook. There's an ad. Can you guess what it was for? It's that same cross and flame necklace. It's like it was taunting me. Like, are you sure you didn't want this? It'd look really good. You'd be missing out. I didn't buy it, but I thought about it. FOMO is that curse that counterbalances what really is one of the great benefits of the modern society that we live in: choice. We have so many choices in our lives right now. I mean, people even half a century ago couldn't imagine the sheer number of options we now have for every decision that we make. Back then, if you wanted a fridge, you better hope the local appliance store downtown had more than one model, or that was the model you were going to go home with that day. Fast forward a little bit, come the 80s, everyone was blown away when the shopping mall was invented. Now all of a sudden you can spend all day weighing exactly which fridge is the perfect model and color to fit the ambiance of your kitchen. But now we have Amazon. And every mall in America is on your computer screen, isn't it? It's amazing. Our kitchens are better for it, right? But there's a cost, and it's FOMO. When we have so many options available to us, we cannot, by physical necessity, choose all of them. And so it's easy for each of us to kind of live our lives wondering if we'd done things a little differently. What if I'd bought that fancier fridge? Yeah, would it cost more? I couldn't really afford it, but would I be happier? I don't know. Right? What if I'd gone on a cruise instead of a beach for my vacation? Would I have had more fun? I see people online going to the beach. They look like they're having a lot of fun. Would that have been me? I don't know. What if I'd chosen even something as important as a different career? Would I have been spared the problems, the challenges, the stress that I'm dealing with now? We can't know the answers, of course. None of us could ever know what would have happened if we'd done things differently. But we wonder, don't we? What if I'd chosen something else? What if I'd chosen something better? What if the people who made a different choice than I did in their life, what if they're living a better, happier life than me? We wonder. And if we wonder enough, we start to feel anxious about it. And if we keep feeling anxious about it, that anxiety grows into what it always grows into: fear. Fear of missing out fear. FOMO fear. So is it any wonder? Is it any wonder in this world we live in of infinite choices on the one hand and FOMO on the other hand, is it any wonder that our relationships have suffered? Is it any wonder that marriages have suffered? I mean, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of reasons why divorce rates have gone up in recent decades and marriage rates have declined in recent decades. There's a whole lot going on there. And not all those reasons are bad either. Many people, especially women nowadays, they're much freer to leave an abusive relationship than they ever were before. That is a great thing. But amidst all those reasons, there is this one. For those thinking about getting married nowadays, as well as for those already married, as each and every one of us looks at the world we live in, full of all of its choices and the FOMO that goes with it, the question has to come up. Of course it's going to come up. How do I know for sure that this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with? For many considering marriage now, especially young people working on a career, that question has led them to delay getting married. They don't want that relationship limiting other life choices, not yet anyway. And for older folks who are already married, that question has caused them to kind of wonder about their own marriage. Did I really know what I was getting into here? Is there someone I should have chosen instead? In this world full of infinite choice on the one hand and fear of missing out on the other hand, is it any wonder that we bring both of those into our deepest relationships? Friendships, romantic relationships, all of our relationships. Is it any wonder we bring all of that to those most intimate parts of our lives? Of course we do that. How could you not do that? Which is why we need this seventh commandment more than we ever have. Church, we do. In fact, we may need this commandment more than the people in Moses' day did. I mean, for those who first received this commandment, for those first generations of Israelites, this commandment was primarily about safeguarding children and preserving the family line. In Moses' day, if you wanted to grow up safely, to be an adult, and then inherit enough to build a successful life on, you had to know who your daddy was. That's just how the culture worked at the time. You lived in your dad's house. You inherited your dad's stuff. And so you had to know who your daddy was. And they didn't have DNA testing back then, right? And so the only way to guarantee that they knew who their daddy was for their parents to remain faithful to each other. Now, of course, there's a whole lot more behind do not commit adultery than that, but those were the main focus, those were the main benefits to people keeping this commandment. For us, though, this commandment might actually offer something even greater than all that. See, when we're constantly facing so many options, when we're constantly feeling that fear of missing out, something happens to us. We become constant appraisers. You see, ad after ad for a new fridge, what are you going to do? You're going to go home and start looking at your fridge. Maybe I do need a new one. Hadn't thought about it before, but maybe. Now, maybe you get one, maybe you don't, but you're wondering about it. You see enough fancy vacations on social media, you're going to start wondering if you need to assess your plans. Maybe I do need to shake things up a bit, check out some exotic locations. Again, maybe you change your plans, maybe you don't, but you're wondering about it. You're assessing it. And maybe you do need a new vacation, maybe you do need a new fridge, nothing wrong with all of that. But if we think that way about refrigerators and vacations, if we're not careful, it's not all that hard to start thinking that way about people. Friends, partners, spouses, any of them. I mean, we have options for everything else, right? Why not this? Maybe I do need a new partner. Hadn't really thought about that before, but I mean, just get on Tinder, you'll find some options. Now, maybe you do get a new partner. Probably you don't. Let's give a little credit. But even if you don't get a new one, can you see what just happened? Even if you stay faithful, stay with your that person, do you see what this is going to do to that relationship? Constant comparison, constant assessment. It changes how we view things, especially people. I mean, all of a sudden, I'm not just valuing my fridge for how well it keeps my food cold anymore. I'm now comparing it to a million other refrigerators. See how it stacks up to them. And if I view the people in my life that way, not just how healthy is our relationship, but how well this relationship compares to the potential relationship between me and a million other people, what is that going to do? I'll tell you what it's going to do. It's going to make me assess my relationships more and more on one factor and one factor alone. How happy that person is making me. Nothing else starts to matter anymore. Now again, maybe my partner, maybe my friend, maybe they are making me really happy. Maybe they're making me happier than I think anyone else would. Maybe I keep them around. But the damage is already done. Even if I keep them, the damage is done. Because that relationship, it's not a relationship between two people anymore. Not in my eyes. Now all of a sudden, it's a relationship between me and something I'm using to make myself happy. And the other person's going to sense that, right? How long you really think it's going to take for them to pick up on how we're seeing them, how we're using them, how we're constantly assessing them. How long you really think it's going to take? They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out that in our eyes, our relationship is only good for how much it meets my own needs. And they're going to feel deeply, deeply insecure about that. Of course they will. They should. And you know what insecurity does? It erodes trust. And you know what happens when trust erodes in a relationship? That relationship is not near as fulfilling to either person. And so all of a sudden, guess what? That relationship is less fulfilling. It starts making us long for a better relationship. And guess what then? We have a lot of options and a whole lot of fear of what we're missing out on. And we're going to be really tempted to try one. So if we're going to go to this seventh commandment, again, not looking for a new law for us to obey. That's not what we're doing here. If we're going to go to this commandment looking for a word that can teach us about God's love for us and how we can love other people, if we go to it like that, we're going to realize we have a whole lot to learn about love. Again, love of anyone, friends, family, spouses, doesn't matter. This commandment has a whole lot to teach us about love. And you know what the biggest lesson is it has to teach us? Stop shopping. When it comes to people, stop shopping. Stop consistently assessing. Stop comparing. Stop wondering all the time, what if I had chosen differently? What if this person were a different person? Stop giving in to that fear of missing out. I mean, I get it. I get it. Nowadays, we like to keep our options open because something better may come along. But you know what, church? Tough. I know your vacation isn't picture perfect. I know your career isn't offering you everything you want all the time. I know your spouse isn't making you happy every single day. And yes, yes, there are reasons to make changes sometimes. If your vacation is never fun, you really should be looking at new ones. If your career's not providing for your family the way you need it to, yeah, you should be looking for alternatives. If you are in an abusive relationship, you need to get out. Yes, there are reasons to make changes. But all that is different from shopping. All that is nothing like comparing and constantly assessing. That is not the same thing. Learn from this commandment, church. It has so much to teach us about what love is like. Learn that you can be committed to something that's imperfect. Learn that you can be faithful to someone who is imperfect. If you do that, you know what? You will miss out. It's true. If you're with someone and something imperfect, you will be missing out on a lot. And you know what? You'll be fine. You'll be fine. I'll tell you why you'll be fine too. It's not because you're just going to hunker down and endure. It's not because you're going to ignore so many things that are wrong. It's not because you're just going to shove all that inward and never feel it. That is not why you're going to be fine. That will not make you fine. You know why you're going to be fine? Because this commandment has another one paired with it. Jewish scholars, before even the time of Jesus, realized that if you put these Ten Commandments in two columns, they match up pretty well. The second column kind of reflects the first column. And so this seventh commandment reflects the second commandment. Those of you who've been here all summer, you remember what that one was? Don't commit adultery, or don't worship idols. It's paired with do not commit adultery. Worship God alone. The second commandment tells us to be faithful to God alone. And you know what that involves? That involves being faithful to the one perfect being in the entire universe. And you know something about that one perfect being we're called to be faithful to? That God? That perfect God yearns to provide us everything we need. Every kind of love, every kind of joy, peace that cannot be measured, strength that does not wear out, all of it, that perfect God wants to give to us and can only give to us in a loving, faithful relationship. If we are faithful to that perfect God, you know what? We don't have to worry about FOMO. When we're faithful and in a loving relationship with that perfect God, there is no fear of missing out, because that God wants to provide all of that to us for eternity. It will never wear out. There's no part of it we will not explore. There is nothing about it we will fail to experience. God wants to provide all of that for us for all time. There is no fear of missing out when it comes to being in a loving relationship with our faithful God. And do you know what that means? It means we don't need to shop around anymore. It means we get to stop assessing all the time. It means we never have to feel FOMO again. It means we can remain in relationship with our friends and our spouses, our partners, even though they don't always make us happy. We can remain faithful even when we're not happy. Our faithfulness to a perfect God lets us be faithful to imperfect people. And if you need a reminder of how faithful that God is, this is a perfect day to be here. Because in just a little while, after we prepare ourselves, our hearts, and our minds, we're going to come to this table. And do you know what happens at this table? Your situation, your anxieties, your happiness or lack thereof, it stops mattering a little bit. I'm not saying it's not important, but it has absolutely nothing to do with what God does. When you come to this table, our God is faithful every single time. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God provides the real presence of Jesus Christ at this table, in the bread and in the cup. When you take those things, what you are receiving is the faith of Christ and the peace of Christ and the strength that Christ felt. Everything Christ had is given to you in that moment. Every single time. Doesn't matter what you bring. Doesn't matter how you come. Doesn't matter whether you're feeling it or not. Our God is faithful every single time. He never gets tired of it. He never gets bored with it. Every time we come to this table, our God shows up. So if you need a reminder of how faithful our God is, of all that our faithful God has to offer you, it's really simple. You just come and you receive it. Let's pray. Almighty God, we struggle so hard to stay focused, to stay open, to be genuine when we sing and when we listen. God, take all of that away. Bring us to your table where, whether we are faithful or not, you are faithful to be there and to give us all that we need. God, guide us as we prepare ourselves.